Hi, you're welcome to Lids Conversations with Blue.
Hello, Akbar. Welcome to Lids Conversations with Blue. How are you today?
Hello, Blue. I'm good.
Okay. When I told you that we'd be exploring the Word of God, what came to mind?
You know, the Word of God is so friendly and yet it's so new every time, so it can shock you. So I don't know, I guess I was a bit shocked, but also in a good way. So yeah.
Okay. So what does the Word of God mean to you, actually?
I feel like in my head, if I was asked that question, I feel like I should be able to give information, but right now I'm realizing that the Word of God means so many things.
Okay.
But I think chiefly for me, I think the Word of God is the guide, is the ultimate guide. And sometimes that is good, sometimes that is bad. Sometimes that means smacking you back to the path. Sometimes that means a light onto your feet. So depending on your behavior, depending on the context, you know, the Word of God is just that person. The Word of God is just that guide. It's also a presence. I think that the Word of God is also a presence that dwells with you. It's around you. It's around you to scold you. It's there to embrace you. It's there to teach you. So I guess the Word of God is everything.
Interesting. If you don't mind, would you like digging a little deeper into what you said earlier about the Word of God being able to send you to the path or be light to your feet? What do you mean?
Okay. I said smack you to the path.
Okay, got you now.
So there have been times when I hated hearing the Word of God, when I cringe at hearing the Word of God because it is speaking to me and I don't want to listen at that time. You know, it's scolding me. It's harsh to me, but I know it's for my own good. You know, it's just sometimes the Word of God is just like my mother's voice and it's just telling me, I'm not going to let you be until you do what's right. So that was what I meant about the Word of God smacking me to the right path.
Okay, so are you trying to say now that the Word of God sometimes might come in an uncomfortable way?
Definitely uncomfortable. Sometimes difficult, sometimes bitter. Yes, definitely uncomfortable. The Word of God can be very uncomfortable to the Christian.
Is there context? Because I'm trying to think in my head, does this apply to, let's say, when someone has done something wrong and you're being corrected, or the word itself stabs your skin, so it's not comfortable?
Well, there are many instances, but when we commit sin, I mean, that's like the most obvious. But also, Word of God, I think one of the things the Word of God also does is to overtake you. The Word of God is like a virus, okay? The more you relate with it, the more it tries to get under your skin. It's not only in the context of wrongdoing. The Word of God is trying to take over you, and that sometimes can be very uncomfortable. So you've been so comfortable with something, you've been taught that thing your whole life, but the Word of God is saying to you that you can no longer do that thing. Because the Word of God is God, it therefore means that the Word of God is dynamic, and the Word of God can be customized to you and to your situation. So God could tell you, God has told me before to stop taking chicken. It won't make sense to anybody, but I knew why the Word of God was telling me not to take chicken. Well, the Word of God in that context is not just the Word of as the only the written text, but now the text, the aspect of obedience, you know, to that word is coming to me. You know, there's a scripture that talks about how it is that we should not be like the glutton eaters of bread. So I was spending a lot of my money on chicken because I love chicken. I'm a foodie. But it wasn't reasonable, okay? It was costing me, and it was also consuming for me. And I think God didn't want that, and God told me to have a chicken fast. And that may not make sense to any other person, but I understood what that meant for me, and it was quite uncomfortable because anybody who knows me knows that I love my chicken. So
So the word of God puts you in check.
It puts you in check, yes, whether you want it or not. Sometimes you want it. Sometimes you say, oh, thank God. You know, you're about to sleep and then the Word of God, oh, don't say a thing. Oh, thank God for that.
Perfect.
But sometimes Yes, perfect timing. Yes, perfect timing. Oh, you know, you're about to just say that thing, you're about to just make that move, and the word of God cautions you, and you know that this is for your good, and you love it.
Okay.
But sometimes the word of God cautions you, and you don't love it. Not, you know it's the right thing. You always know it's the right thing because the word of God, you know, connects with the spirit that is inside of you. So a part of you knows that the word of God is right for what it's telling you. But another part of you is rebelling against that instruction. So sometimes you like it, sometimes not so good.
Interesting, very interesting. On a lighter note now, would you say that you are team hardcover Bible, paperback Bible, or mobile Bible?
Well, I try to be a traditional guy, but truth be told, I've not studied with hardcover Bible in years. I find myself, I'm being called to a program to teach or something. Sometimes I just carry the hardcover Bible and just take it there, like I have a Bible. But then I end up going to my phone because I have more resources. I can compare versions easily, and it's just really convenient for me. And my phone really dies. Okay, I have I have a power bank, a standby power bank that I take with me, and it's I think it's just really comfortable for me, and I've gotten used to the
mobility of the
soft
Bible.
Copy. Yes, it's to me it's better. It's easier. It's accessible. I can search for scriptures on the go. And I don't know the scriptures often. I know it's in the Bible, but I don't know exactly where it is in the Bible. So I just need to put in the keywords because I know the scriptures, and then I'm able to locate it, and then I'm able to teach it to people, and other people can reference it. So yeah, definitely soft copy.
Very cool. What would you say, if there's any, an experience that gave you that the word of God is worth my time feeling? Is there any experience in your life at all?
I think it's about just seeing other people talk about the Bible with so much boldness. I think when I see people teach the Bible, really, you know, break down the things you couldn't understand, you know, the KJV things that have been in your head for so long and they've been so poetic and you just can't crack them down. They just make it real to you. And it's like they open a veil, you know, and then you can just hear God.
They unravel the mysteries.
They unravel the mysteries, and it's beautiful. So I think I love that unraveling. And won't it be so blissful to find out for myself? So, you know, I think they make me feel like I can be closer to God. So when I see people really teach the scriptures in simple language, I think that was what triggered me. And I think that started happening when I was in SS2, I think, or 3. Not sure now. There was a fellowship there. And I see very young students, you know, my mates, some seniors, so I think I was in SS2. And they would just talk about the Bible with so much conviction. You know, all my life I've heard people talk about holiness and godliness with uncertainty. Are you sure you'll go to heaven if God comes today? You know, it's about the fear, it's about the uncertainty. But then when I started seeing people who knew the methods, who knew the mind of God, you know, I think the fear faded away and the interest came right in. And that was why I discovered I need to sit down and read this thing for myself. There's something there for me.
Right. So if I got you, there's a method to dive into God's word, and we shouldn't do it with fear.
Yes.
So there was a bit of curiosity for you.
Yes, because beyond the fear, the curiosity can come in. When there's fear, nothing grows where there's fear. There's only deserts there.
Things dry up, right?
You know, you're just stiff, and there's no creativity where there's fear. When the fear got away, the interest came in.
You had to make room for the curiosity by letting go of your fear.
Yeah, and I should add that the Bible is really good literature. I love good literature.
Yes, I think I can relate to that. Okay. Would you say now that this curiosity is what keeps you going back to God's word, or is there any other reason?
Well, the curiosity, definitely, because the word of God is new every time. The word of God shocks you, as I said. You've been reading a scripture for a very long time, and because revelation is progressive, God shows you something new about that scripture, and you're so excited, like, I never knew this, I never saw it this way, you know.
Hits you differently. You know,
yes, it does. It's you know, it surprises you every time. It excites you in new ways, and it grows you. So yes, definitely that. But also, I think the word of God now is more of you know, something I know I need. Okay, so it's beyond just curiosity for me at this point.
Okay.
It's food. It's I know when I'm not around the word, you know, I feel empty.
Okay.
When I'm around the word, I feel loaded.
Okay.
I can see the power. I can see the power in when I talk to people.
The tangibility.
Yes, yes. There's substance in it. There's, you know, there's stuff. So it's more than just curiosity for me now. It's a matter of life and death.
Right. So would you describe this experience a bit more? More like, what I'm asking is, when you say you go back to God's word, are you just reading text? Because I understand that there are several stories in there. So are you just interacting with the stories? Let's say you're reading through Genesis, writing through till, you know, other parts of the Bible. Is that what you mean by studying the Bible? Or is there something else?
No, I read the Bible for the stories. Don't get me wrong. I read it as literature. That's not what I mean. When I really study the Bible, I'm not just reading for the stories. I think Don Wen said something in one of his songs that that he has always believed that worship needs to be more than a monologue. Okay, so that when we sing to God, he believes that God should sing back to us, or as the case may be. So I also think that reading the Bible for me is more than, you know, I try not to see the word of God as reading, basically. Okay. I don't know. I see it more like looking. Okay. When you look, you see. And because what you're seeing is active, he sees you back. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So because the Bible also says that as we behold in a glass, we are transformed from glory to glory. So every time I look at the word of God, every time I really study, I meditate on the word of God, something jumps at me. Something changes me. Something injects me. You know, and I feel it. If I dwell on it well enough, something will come out of it. And I will be changed by that thing.
So the words are alive?
The words are alive. Yes, the words are alive. And they tickle my fancy. The words are alive and they do something to me. Something, you know, something interesting, something intriguing, something life-altering. And that happens over and over again. So it's like an addiction. You want to keep coming back.
The elderly kind, right?
Yeah, the elderly kind.
Okay, this sounds like a thorough case of win-win. You're spending time with God's word, and the words are jumping at you. Then the words are renewing you. The words are filling you up, giving you tangible power that you can sense all around you. And then you said something about glory. What is that?
I would describe the word glory personally as beauty.
Okay.
As colors. Okay, so you feel worthless, you feel hopeless. But then you think about the word of God, or you hear the word of God, you know, or you remember the word of God, and you feel excited again. In your hopelessness, you find hope. And to me, that's what keeps me coming back. That's what makes me know I want to stay here. I want to be here.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. Do you have favorite scripture, Okwe?
It's a very difficult one, you know. I might just pull out anyone that's tickling my fancy at the moment.
So does that mean you don't have any favorites?
Well, usually when I'm asked these questions, I usually just pick the one that says, for we know. Because that scripture just makes me understand that I can never lose in life. I can never lose. I literally can never lose. Nothing can happen to me and I will lose. And the scripture says, for we know that all things are working together for the good of those that love God. Yes. Those that are called according to his purpose. I know that I love God. That's one thing I can't stop loving God, no matter the situation, because I've seen how much he loves me, and that has just captivated my heart. So beyond anything, I love God, and I have a lifetime guarantee that all things are working together for my good. So in sickness, all things are working together for my good. In health, all things are working together for my good. In recession, all things are working together for my good. In a country such as Nigeria, all things are working together for my good. Bad situations. So every time I feel hopeless, I find hope in that scripture, in that all things are working together for my good. And every single time, it has turned out to be the truth.
I amazing. Find
that, yeah, amazing. Just amazing. The sentence is amazing. It's amazing. All things are working together. And there are several other scriptures that are as wonderful as that. Like the one that says, I'm sorry, you said just one.
It's fine.
Another one did say that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ever think. I don't even want to
imagine.
Go further. Because if he can do what I can think, that means God is consistently capable of blowing my mind. So I just take my bed and I'm just thinking about how heaven would be, and I just think about the best thoughts ever, and I have a very imaginative mind, dramatic mind, and I think about the best thing ever, and then I'm like, wow, and it's even better than this.
So I
feel secure, you know. I feel like I'm in a relationship where never be served breakfast, as people often say. I've never been able to relate to that, because that where I come from, our relationships are forever. So I feel safe. I feel safe in that scripture, in those scriptures. I feel safe. I feel like I'm with the right person. I'm in the right relationship. That's a really good feeling for me.
Wow. There's so many words that I could say right now, but I am short of words. This is so beautiful. It's almost as if everything you said is so relatable. That's the truth. And then much more. It's like your words have given me reason to dive into God's word even more than ever before. I'm so glad that we had this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing, Ope. It's been really beautiful. Is there any last charge you'd like to give our dear listener?
You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and you know, she was trying to teach me some doctrines, okay? Very fascinating doctrines, and I was interrogating those doctrines because I don't know everything. Revelation is progressive, so I was interrogating those doctrines based on the scriptures. So the person just said, let me just let you know now before you start, I'm very closed-minded. And I'm like, okay, so you have a doctrine that, but you are closed-minded. So I just want to charge everybody. You may feel confused. You may feel lost. Whichever way you feel, the salvation to your situation is to read the Bible for yourself. Because if you keep listening to people, if you keep listening to doctrines, which I'm not saying are bad or good, by the way, you will never get it right. A lot of people have mentioned so many people, so many characters in the Bible that did things wrong, but they are seeing it the wrong way. The Bible is about one person. Everybody, all the other characters are pointing to one major character, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
So you need to read the Bible for what it is. You need to have a relationship with the Bible. It's not a one-off thing. And God will reveal himself to you, and that will blow your mind.
Amen. Thank you. That's a very, very
Thank
good
you
wrap.
So much. Thank you.
I've had a great time listening to you.
I've had
for
a
sharing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, Ope, for your time. God bless you for everything. May the Lord unravel himself to you much more.
Amen.
And I pray the future is full of bigger surprises. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. And
I was scared at first, but I did have a good time. Thank you.
I'm glad you did. Okay, so dear listener, we're glad you stuck with us till the very end. Thank you so much. I pray this has blessed you much more. And I hope that the Lord visits you in this season and beyond. Amen. Bye.
Amen. Bye.
Hello, FemFam. This is Lit Conversations with Blue, and I'm on to season 3. FYI, you don't want to miss any of my gists with some of my friends and family, because it's bigger, better, and so lit. Let's go! Thank you for joining me. Do subscribe to get the very best of Lit Conversations as it drops. Kindly share and be a great blessing to your world, starting right now.